The love of God does not disappoint. The love of God does not disappoint. So many of us are hurting. We go through hurts, pains, disappointments, failures, and all that stuff that we hang on to in life. It affects us. It affects every part of us. It affects our relationship with God. And we need to realize that in God, His love does not disappoint. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." Now hope, this is my key verse. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This year has been quite the year for me personally. And God has taken me on a journey, and He's taken me through a process of healing from past wounds, past hurts, because He wants me free. And He wants all of us free, because we can't serve Him the way He wants to be served if we're hanging on to us. We have to let go of us and let God be God through us. So sometimes we want to tuck those things away. We don't want to face them because we're afraid. We're afraid of going back to the pain or back to the hurt. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to deal with it and take care of it. So we go through life ignoring it. And most times it's that stuff that affects us in many different ways that we don't understand. We don't understand why we do what we do. But God knows why. He knows why. He sees all the hurt, all the pain, and He wants us free. So, what does it mean that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts? It means that God has poured His very self into us. His love has been poured into us. And with His love, we're able to come all troubles, all heartaches, all our sufferings, because His love is above all that. His love can be trusted. So it's in His love that we are enabled to forgive others of what they've done to us. If we've been hurt, we're able to forgive ourselves, our own wrongs. And that sometimes that's a big thing. We hold on to our own pain because we don't want to forgive what we've done. And that. But through God's love, we have the ability to endure hardships, which produces the patience, which produces the character, and the character, hope. Your greatest hardships or your greatest sufferings are for nothing. We go through this stuff, but God can turn it around for good. It's not for nothing. We're learning. We're on a journey with God, learning. So what the enemy has meant for your harm, God's turning it around for your good and His great pleasure. It's about him and not about us. That's why we can rejoice in the hope and glory in the tribulations. We can be joyful in the midst of our journey. When I was going through all this year, and things were being brought up and dealt with, I still had the joy of the Lord with me. The joy of the Lord was still in my heart. He still led me and guided me, but that's because I chose to. I wanted to get through it and be healed. So God's love doesn't disappoint us, and it never shames us. I don't care what you've done. God's love will never shame you. He receives us no matter what we've done or what has been done to us. He receives us, and he never puts that shame back on us. We have to let it go. So this hope, it's not found in the avoidance of our sufferings, but the working through it. Because although suffering can be painful, hope assures us that we can overcome it. And when we endure through tribulations, our character is tested and shown to be faithful if we don't give up. That's how faith grows. We have to make sure that our faith is always, you know, we go from glory to glory, little by little, from glory to glory, but that's our faith growing in us. So God sees everything we've ever gone through, and he doesn't want us to be discouraged, but he wants us to be encouraged because his love is greater than that. The word shed means poured out, because some translations do say the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. He fills us with his love. A non-believer can love, but they can't show Christ's love. Worldly love has stipulations attached to it. It has conditions. But Christ's love always puts Christ first above ourselves. If you're holding a grudge, if you're angry with someone, then you're not walking in the love of Christ. You're walking in your flesh. You're walking in yourself. God has spilled his love in every believer, which it means it's gushing out. It's overflowing profusely. It's Christ's love that takes us through that healing of forgiveness, through that healing of suffering. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in both you to will and to do for his good pleasure." James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Endures in the Greek is to abide, but a strengthened form. So we're not just casually abiding under the Lord. We're abiding under him in strength, but not in our own. It's the Holy Spirit giving us the strength to abide. To bear up courageously under suffering, ye shall take it patiently. Patience perfects Christian character. Not just any character, but the character of Christ. And unless you allow the character of Christ to be developed in you, you'll always struggle in your life. You'll always struggle in hardships. You'll always struggle in unforgiveness. You'll always struggle in everything you do. You just won't live a happy life. You're always going to be miserable. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Character has to be developed. And to develop character, you have to go through the fire. Sometimes we want God to just wave his hand and make everything okay, make our lives right, fix everything for us. But nobody ever wants to go through the fire. Nobody wants the character part of it. They just want to keep going through whatever. And we don't want to do anything to help ourselves. We want God to do it all for us. We want Him to do it without any commitment on our part to Him. In Acts 3, it says in 6 and 10, it's 6 through 10, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Before this had happened, Peter had to go through the fire. Because in Luke 22, it says that Jesus warned Peter, and he said, "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you, be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail you. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren." It said in here that they all, that Satan had excessively asked for all of them. But Jesus, that means they all failed. All the disciples failed. They all had to go through the fire at this time. At this point, God wasn't, he was talking to Peter, but he was also saying, you will all fail. We all go through the fire. At some point, none of us are perfect. We all have backgrounds. We all have baggage. We all have fleshly desires within us that God wants to clean up your act. So all the disciples failed. They all had to go through it. But Jesus prayed especially for Peter that his faith would not fail him during this time of testing. The character of Christ had to be developed in him, and then he was able to strengthen his brethren. Are you a Peter? Are you the Peter today that's going to go through the fire and be tested so that God can clean you up, so that you can strengthen other people that we come in contact with? Is it your character? Are you going to allow God to change your character to be more like Christ? That's why Peter was able to say, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." It's time to rise up and walk. We all need to rise up and walk and grow up in God and allow God to take us through the fire, that he can get out all those impurities so that we can be Christ-like in his love. That Christ-like love can flow through us. So we have to get, we have the God, so that we have the God kind of love, the God character developed in us, so that God can use us to our full potential. So he's doing it for us. He does it for our own good, because he's got plans and purposes for every one of us, good plans and purposes. And if we don't grow up, then we're never going to be at our full potential that he has for us. We don't do it on our own, though. We have the Holy Spirit who walks beside us. He gives us the power to do what we need to do. We have to trust him even when it gets difficult. I think I'm bumping this or something. Maybe it's my hair. Okay. I'll try to keep it back. Okay. He's looking at me like, yeah, it is. If you are going through the fire right now, then go through it courageously. Because the Lord, the Bible said, it teaches us to be courageous. So we need to be courageous in God. And remember, just as Jesus prayed for Peter, he's also making intercession for you. So we don't go about it alone. Abraham believed God. Against all hope, even though his situation looked hopeless, I'm not sure what I'm doing, guys. Abraham believed God, and against all hope, even though his situation looked hopeless, Abraham, in hope, believed or had faith that he would become the father of many nations as he had been promised. Remember, God has a promise for us, and he has a purpose for us, and that is the abundant life through him, through Jesus. And not seeing the full manifestation of the promise being fulfilled, he still witnessed the seed of it. He witnessed Isaac, his son. So he was still able to see the seed of that promise, even though he didn't get to see all of us today. Sometimes we don't understand what is going on or why things happened or happened in our life. And unless God reveals that to you, it really doesn't matter, because Jesus is all that matters. And we need to stay focused on him. It's because we can't see the big picture, so we're always trying to figure things out. But in an effort to figure it out, we end up reasoning in our own mind. Human reasoning can cause us to feel hopeless, like things will never get better or things will never change. But God is putting all the little pieces of your life together to make that big picture come to fruition in your life. But in his timing. Like when God was taking me this year, I never expected to go through what I went through this year. I never expected to have to look back at my past and dig through it and get healing for it. But it was God's timing for me. So we need to pray and ask the Lord, you know, what his timing is. We just don't jump into it because we don't want to get ahead of God. We want to stay behind him. So we have to learn to be patient, even in the suffering, even when we don't understand. We have to trust God and put our faith in him every step of the way. And to do that, we have to keep our focus on him and know and trust that it might be my shirt. Know and trust that he's got a good plan. When you pass through the waters, he will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. These are promises from God. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. If we allow him to work in us through the process, it brings us up to new levels of faith, trust, and intimacy with him. God's plans. Is it me? Thank you. If we allow him to work in us and take us through that process, he will bring us up to new levels of faith. He'll also bring us up to levels of trust and new levels of intimacy with him. Because God wants us to come up. But we can't come up unless he brings us up. He has to pull us up. And I've shared this before on a Wednesday night that when I was praying one day, God had taken me by the hair, actually, in the spirit. He took me by the hair, and he pulled me up. And as he pulled me up, because I had been worrying about different things in my life, and as he pulled me up, all the stuff, as I was going up, I could actually see all the stuff getting smaller. And that's what God does. And he told me, he said, don't worry about the small stuff. And I thought, wow, because here on earth, everything looks big. Everything looks undefeatable. But it's not. When we allow God to pull us up, all that stuff is small. It's small in God's eyes. And he wants us just to keep focused on him and know that he's got it. He's got all that stuff, you know, in his control, in the palm of his hands. His hands are big. We don't need to worry like we do or have anxiety and fears like we do. It's important that we set our minds on things above and speak those promises that God says about us or about our situations. Never negative speaking carries with it unbelief. It carries with it doubt. It carries with it fear. God doesn't want us to live in that. God told us in his word, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. That means intimacy with God. Talk to him and let him take care of it. We need to speak life into our situation because our words carry weight. They speak life or they speak death. There's power in the tongue. And I believe that was a word this morning about our words. So we need to make sure our mouth is lined up with our heart and not our head. That's why when we reason, it can bring confusion into a situation. When we speak in line with the word of God, we're not trying to get God to do something for us, but we're saying through those words, I trust you, God. I know you got this. But the devil wants us to agree with him. He takes our negative situations or our past and tries to use them against us to keep us in bondage. He wants us to speak words of hopelessness and bitterness, unforgiveness, negative words that are in agreement with him. That's what negative words do. They keep us in agreement with the enemy. And when we get into an agreement with him, then he has the right to make a bigger mess in your circumstance or in your life because you're in agreement with it. God doesn't want us in agreement with the enemy. We're his children. But the Bible teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God. Align your thoughts, words, and desires with God's thoughts, words, and desires for you. Then you will be walking in the God kind of faith. Your covenant union is with Jesus. It's not with the enemy. So give God the freedom to do what he wants to do in your life. We would all like justice to be served for what happens in life. When we get hurt, or we get offended, or someone makes us mad, we want justice to be served. We want them to be paid back for what they did to us, because it wasn't fair. And that's how we act. We act like big babies, stomping our feet. Well, they did this, that, and the other. But that's not Christ's love. That's not the love that Christ put in you, that shed abroad in your heart. That's your flesh. And we're not supposed to be walking in our flesh. We're supposed to be Christ-like. But Jesus already paid for that price for the sin that we have in our life. We're justified in him by faith. And we have been paid back for our wrongs. We're paid back for our wrongs already. In Christ, we're paid back for our wrongs already. We don't have to be stomping our feet and wanting revenge because Christ already paid us back. His blood was shed for us. He gave his life as a payment for you and me. You can't keep licking your wounds over and over. But if you do, they'll never get healed. You have to stop feeling sorry for yourself so God can put his healing ointment on the wound so it can go through the healing process. Joyce Meyer says, you will either be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. You have to grow up in the Lord if you want to live by his power. Or you can stay in your weakness and live in defeat. If you want to lay hands on the sick so they can recover, then you better have a Christ-like character in you. If you want to do all these great things for God, then you better let Christ's character go before you. Because if you don't, your flesh will hold you back. Our flesh holds us back from being the people that God wants us to be towards others. Oh, I don't want to pray for her. Or I don't want to be there when she speaks. We're one in at mind, like Stacy said earlier. We need to forgive people and start walking in forgiveness. I didn't know I was going to say all this, but I told the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and I believe he is. Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ came for us. He came for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come into the world to condemn us, but to save us. So those of us, we might not know Christ, but God's already made a perfect way for you. But you have to receive him. If you want a better life, you have to receive Christ. And that doesn't mean that you don't still go through trials and tribulations, because you do. But God is there with us, and he holds us up. And remember, it's the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. It's what causes us to endure, to give us the patience, to give us the character that gives us the hope. He didn't come to condemn us of our sins and leave us helpless. He came to save us from them. He came to set us free from the bondages of them. Sin is bondage. And bondage leads to baggage. Through one man, Adam, death through sin came into the world. It spread to everyone. But Jesus brought forgiveness to everyone who will receive God's gift of salvation. Adam's sin leads to condemnation. But with God's gift, we are accepted by him, even though we are guilty of many sins. In Corinthians 13, it's 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter. And in there it tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. So Christ's blood that was shed covers every sin we could ever commit. And there is some heinous, horrendous sins out there. But God covered it all. Jesus' blood covered it all. Adam caused death to rule over us, but all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness, which is salvation, will live in triumph over sin and death through Jesus. Through the grace of God and the free gift of salvation, which is given by one man, Jesus, it abounded to many. God's free gift of salvation is not to be compared to our trespasses. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. That means there's no sin that God hasn't covered for. The fall of man does not even compare to God's grace. Nothing compares or even comes close to God's love for mankind. And I heard it once said recently, who's the opposite of God? The answer is nothing. Some people say that Satan is the opposite of God. When comparing Satan with God as opposites, you are putting Satan on the same level as God. But that's not so. God does not have an equal. God is I am. He is El Shaddai, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing and no one on this earth, in hell, or in heaven that is above God. He's all-powerful, all-sufficient. He sits on the throne. He rules and he reigns over this world. He is sovereign. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So the opposite of God would be the absence of God. There's no other. He alone is God. And nothing can separate us from his love because God has more patience with us than we have sin. We could not save ourselves. We needed a Savior because we were powerless to help ourselves. God rescues us out of the kingdom of darkness, and he transfers us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Being a part of the kingdom of darkness, which we all were at one time, and some of us still may be, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he offers us hope of eternal salvation through his grace. And it doesn't matter what we've done, God extends his mercy. He extends his kindness. He extends his love and grace to all who will receive him. So anything that is in your life that is contrary to the love of God, it is through his grace that you're empowered to overcome the power of sin in your life. It's God's power through the Holy Spirit that we're able to overcome. And in Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him, they overcame the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their lives unto death. I've been really meditating on that a lot. How many of us still love our lives? They loved their lives not unto death. God came first. Christ comes first. The blood of the Lamb washes away all unrighteousness. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us. The blood of the Lamb covers us. The blood of the Lamb heals us. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and those who live in him and he in them are overcomers. An overcomer is a person who's victorious. And to him who overcomes will be granted to eat the fruit of the tree of life. That means we'll never be separated from God. We'll spend all eternity with him. In the meantime, we live in a fallen world. With all kinds of wickedness and evil that happen in our culture. And we are pressed on every side fighting against good and evil all the time. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. And sometimes in that fight and in that battle, we can become weak. But when we stick close to God, he strengthens us. The word says the joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy comes from him. That joy has to be nurtured in him. In the midst of the fight, we get hurt, and bad things do happen to us. God said in his word, we will go through trials and tribulations. He didn't say he would take them from us. He said, we'll go through them. But cheer up, for I have overcome the world. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized in Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So as a believer, we're clothed with Christ. We're neither male nor female, Jew or Greek, or slave or free. We're clothed with Christ. So clothed is to enter in. Enter into Christ. We are one with him. It is no longer I or we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us and through us. So if you've gone through something traumatic and you're a born-again believer, when you're clothed with Christ, your old man is dead and gone. You're a new creation in God. So that means that all that old junk has passed away. Now you're putting on Christ, and Christ goes before you. That's why it's God's love in us that we're able to forgive those who hurt us, those who wound us, those who offend us. He's able to take us through every injustice we go through, because it says that whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Now his love is in every person who will accept his love. It's shed abroad in our hearts, and because you are truly his sons, God has sent his Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It means we can call on God anytime. The prodigal son in Luke 15, he left his father's house so he could take his inheritance to go venture into the world. Who knows what he did during that time? We know, according to Scripture, he wasted his fortune in reckless and loose living. And after he spent all his fortune, a famine came to the land, and he didn't have any more money to even feed himself. He lost it all. So he went and forced himself on the citizens to help him, and a farmer sent him to feed his pigs, which is the lowest of the low. He once had it all, but by this time he stoops so low that he couldn't even hardly survive. But then it says that he came to his senses. And when he returned to his father's house, and his father lovingly received him back without fault, without any stipulations, without condemnation, without shame, he completely forgave him. He remembered his sins no more. He celebrated his son's return and gave him the best of all he had. We are heirs, and now all the promises of God belong to us. God doesn't hold unforgiveness over us. That's why we shouldn't be holding unforgiveness to anybody else. He freely welcomes us back. He's longing for your return. There are two sides to a Christian life. On one side, we have peace with God, which we've been reconciled back to him. And on the other side, we're constantly growing in Christ. We're becoming more and more like him. We're a priest in the royal priesthood, serving God by offering spiritual sacrifices. But yet, we have the duties of a slave. We feel both the presence of Christ and the pressure of sin, because we still live in the fleshly body. We still have to deal with our sin nature. And until we leave this earth, we're always going to be dealing with that sin nature. Paul said in Romans 7, "For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." Because it was the law that showed us our awareness of our sin. "It's no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature." Sin is deception. It deceives. It makes temptation look desirable, just as it did when Eve was tempted. Satan presented to Eve selfishness, lust, and pride, all wrapped up in a delicious-looking apple. And that's what sin does. It looks presentable. It looks good. But Satan, he didn't pick the apple for Eve because he was a serpent. He had no arms. She had to reach out and grab the apple for herself and take a bite. So it's our own choice. God already provided a way through Jesus. We don't have to give in to temptations of sin. And even though temptation comes, it is still our choice whether we reach and pull it and bite it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "The Lord said to Paul, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, that when I am weak, then I am strong.'" See, we can be strong even in those moments of weakness. We can be strong in the Lord. And years ago, I dealt with the spirit of jealousy. I had it for a long time, years and years. And when it would come, I had to make a point not to listen and follow after it in my thoughts that were going on in my head. Even though I feared the consequences of what could possibly happen in a given situation, I chose not to let those thoughts rule over me, because it was either me in Christ or it was going to be the jealousy. So I had to go through this battle of, you know, letting myself, my flesh, go through the fire to get rid of that. So if sometimes we carry things in our heart, carry things that are not right in us, and it's a spirit. And it's a spirit. We need to be aware of it so that we can. And, you know, this just happened to me. I always feared coming up here. Well, I've really gotten past all that. But on a Wednesday night, he couldn't come with me. And I was on my way up here. And I was like, wow, I feel so confident. I feel so not afraid, you know. And then when I got around the corner, instantly I felt that spirit. And I said I didn't say, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." All I said was, "There you are." And as soon as I said it, it left. I became aware of it, and it left just by my words. So we don't have to be in a mode of, "Oh, I bind you, I rebuke you." God knows. Sometimes I think we make things too hard. We get too religious, and we need to just keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid. Sorry. I was calling myself that. If you do not rely on God as your strength in those moments of temptation, then you will lose the battle every time. You have to make a point of surrender. You have to develop perseverance with the help of the Holy Spirit, which in turn will strengthen your character deepen your trust in God, and give you greater confidence in your life. So the power of sin is broken over your life, and you no longer have to live as slaves to it. In Jesus, there's no condemnation. If we make a mistake, there is only restoration. God doesn't keep track of your mistakes. He doesn't keep track of them. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Therefore, be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Those who fulfill the appetites of the flesh are as a dog who returns to its vomit. Only a fool repeats his folly. Philippians 2, 12, 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do the good, to do for his good pleasure. So God's grace is the thing that gives us the power to overcome temptations of the world and of our natural man, our own flesh. And the Bible teaches us that we have to put off the old self, the old former conduct of our man, because it's corrupt. The sin nature is corrupt. You can't trust yourself even. You can only trust God. So God has put his love in us that we can forgive and walk in the newness of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 2, 13, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and all understanding and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. We are just clanging cymbals, making noise with no actions to follow. Love is an action. It's not just saying it. You have to have action behind it. God created you for a purpose, but if you don't walk in love, the God kind of love, even toward those who offend us or wound us, it's impossible to please him. We'll never fully please God. He'll never get the glory. That's what it is. He deserves the glory. He is worthy of the glory. So when we don't live up to the full potential he has for us, we're cheating God. We're cheating God out of his glory. Paul said, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not love, it profits me nothing. Love is the evidence in the death of Christ. It's the evidence in the death of Christ. It's the proof. God's love in us is the evidence that we belong to him. We're his children. If we're not allowing the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts, then we are not really his children. We're not really walking the way he wants us to walk. Love covers a multitude of sin, so we have to be quick to forgive people. Romans 6:5 says, for if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. A resurrected life in Christ is putting on the character of Christ. The old has died and the new has come. You have been buried and you are now raised into a new life living by the power of God. The Holy Spirit in us demonstrates the genuine of our faith. It's the power that works in us to transform us to be Christ-like. He comes alongside of us, and he helps us to desire and to obey God. And I know there's a couple passages. I know one's in Psalms and one's in Corinthians where it says, you have caused me to hear and obey. So it's God that causes us. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to hear God and to obey him. But we still have to do our part. We still have to have that relationship with him and be led by him. God's the source of our love, and Jesus is our example of love. And holding on to anything in us that is not lined up with God in your heart, it leaves no room for God's love. So the two are at odds with one another. And not only do we forgive others, but we have to forgive ourselves, because that's what will keep you in bondage, is if you don't. You have to be willing to forgive yourself. So we're made in the image of God, and if we criticize ourselves, then we're criticizing God. Now there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God's love gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So what the enemy has meant for your harm, God will turn it around for your good if you allow him to. So let's just bow our heads and pray. And then I'll have the prayer team come up. If anybody wants prayer for anything, we'll pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time that we were able to gather together and talk about your love. Lord, we know that your love was the evidence. It's the evidence, Father God. It's the proof of who we are in you, Lord. I thank you, Father God. You are such a good, good Father. And Jesus, I praise you. I thank you that you are the pure radiance of the Father. You shine through him, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you that you shine through us. I thank you, Lord God, that you are going to cause this word to penetrate their hearts. And Lord, when we get into situations, Lord God, we will remember, we will be reminded, Holy Spirit, by you, that God's love is in our hearts. We don't have to live in unforgiveness. We don't have to live in pain or hurt. We can be free, because Jesus came to set us free. And who the Son has set free, we are free indeed. So I thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless these people this day. Bless them this week. And Father, I pray for Pastor Marianne, that you would return them home safely to us, Lord God. Protect them, protect the pilot, and everything that they do on their way, the rest of their time off, and when they come back, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe and in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.